And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Lord exists eternally as three persons. He's one being, one substance, but he exists as Trinity. Just like the word Trinity, though, you know, is not in the Bible. It just describes something and defines something. Just like people make a big deal that the word church is not in the Bible, but the word church just means belong to God, a good definition of what the called out people are. But Trinity says so many things about our relationship with the Lord and what God's called us to, because he said, let us make man in our image. And one of the first things about Trinity is this, is that it tells us that God is extraordinarily social. I mean, God's never spent a day by himself. You understand that? And I don't know how you say God's never spent a day, because God is like no days. He's just, throughout eternity, he's never been by himself. So he doesn't pout and get in a bad mood and need me time. God's never needed me time. Aren't you grateful? He's extremely social. He's extremely personable. He's extraordinarily, therefore, relational. He just loves relationship because he's always lived in relationship forever. It talks about how much he loves his son in the Gospels. In Isaiah 41, verse 3, he said he delights in Jesus. And so he delights in himself. He delights in fellowship. In his presence is fullness of joy. It's an atmosphere of social interaction, relationship. And so regardless of what personality you have, personality type you have, God's relational. And he loves to be in our space. And you may be a person who doesn't like people being in your space, but God likes to be in our space because he's just that way. He's relational and delights in relationship and being very intimate. What I was sharing in the devotional this morning was from Song of Solomon. And we're doing the devotional pretty much every day from the Song of Solomon because we want to have a couple of devotional books when it's all over with. But I was just thinking about the reality of prayer, because for most people, prayer is like eating stale graham crackers. And for decades of my own walk with the Lord, prayer was the hardest thing in the world that I ever did. Now, I think in many ways, prayer is the most important thing in the world that we could ever do, because our number one priority is to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first and great commandment. So it must have first place. It's more important than witnessing or serving. Serving his heart is the number one thing God's called us to. And prayer is a place of intimacy, so intimacy must be our priority, seeking and pursuing his presence. But for often, for prayer, people see prayer so much as a duty that it just becomes something dull, and they feel guilty when they don't do it enough, and all the things that go with that. and prayer is all about lists. Now, I'm not against lists. I'm not really a list person. I figured for me, the Holy Spirit can keep a pretty good list. And he's got an extraordinary memory. But lists are fine, because people particularly need to have organization, that kind of thing. But prayer is not about lists. It's about love. And just as we said before, that the key to holiness is falling in love with Jesus. Scripture says that the key to faith is love. Faith works through love. And the key to prayer being a place of delight is once again love. In the Song of Solomon, let's read this little conversation. And the language that's symbolic here, metaphorical in the Song of Solomon, twice, the subject of the reality of the cross in our life comes up. The cross is God works hard things in us and he brings us to a place where we let go of stuff. He may not take them from us, but he just wants us to let go of them. So we actually believe that he's enough. But then there's that daily place where we deny ourselves again and again as we face things. We go, Lord, I can't, you can. I'm looking to you, not to me. I'm saying yes to you and no to my flesh. And twice in this little brief exchange, in the language, there's the language of the cross. Worked out in crises, and it's worked out in daily living. And so there are serious things that go on in this little conversation, but I want you to see, though, in the midst of all that, just this amazing dialogue, because prayer, of course, as you know, is a dialogue. One of the reasons that prayer may be boring to you is because you're doing all the talking, and you don't have near as much to say that's exciting as God does. And if we'd ever get to a place where we'd close our mouths and let God talk, you'd discover prayer is incredible. Because he has a lot of significant and important things to say. And so here is verse 12 of chapter 1. While the king was at his table, my perfume gave forth its fragrance. My beloved is me a pouch of myrrh, which lies all night between my breasts, a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyards of En-Gedi. That's about the cross. Now listen to this exchange. This is from the bridegroom first. How beautiful you are. The language is really, wow. How beautiful you are, my love. Wow, how beautiful you are. Your eyes are like doves. Then the response of the bride, wow, how handsome you are, my beloved, and so pleasant. Indeed, our couch, which is a place of fellowship, is luxuriant. The beams of our houses are cedars, our rafters are cypresses. Again, that's about the cross. The bride says, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. The bridegroom says back to the bride, like a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the maidens. And the bride speaks back to the bridegroom, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men, and in his shade, in his presence. Because you can't have a shade or a shadow, and it's his shade, it says. So he's casting a shadow. You have to have a presence to have a shadow. So in his presence, I take great delight and rested. And his fruit of his presence was sweet to my taste. Now here's the interesting thing, is that even though the cross is involved, and I've discovered that in prayer, there's many times you're dealing with issues that are painful and difficult. You're seeking the Lord. Even the groaning of intercession. I mean, prayer has some agonizing parts to it. But even in the midst of all there, there's this amazing exchange going on. He says to her, oh, how beautiful you are, my love. How beautiful you are. Then she responds in love back to him, how handsome you are, my beloved. You are so pleasant. And then she says, in your eyes, I'm like the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, says, like a lily among thorns. You are among the maidens. And her response back to him, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, is my beloved. And on and on. And when I was just contemplating that again this morning, I just realized that the context of true prayer is about presence in his shade. The joy of prayer, of being alone with God, is that you're alone with God. And there's nobody else interrupting the atmosphere. That he's there and you're there with him. And he loves you so much, he's already proved how much he loves you. He delights in loving you, an unending love, he says. He loves you to the end. He's loved you with an everlasting love. And he loves relationship. It's not awkward to him to spend time with you. You ever felt insecure and awkward in a relationship sometimes and having to get comfortable? He's never like that. He delights in loving you. And so he's there sharing transparently, even in the midst of groanings and intercessions and seeking and the cross, God working the cross in us. There's just always that exchange of God loving us and enlightening, awakening, igniting love back to him, because we love because what? He first loved us. And she said, and in your shade, I took great delight. For too many years, prayer was a duty to me. And it was something I didn't like. And it was not that way because the enemy hates for us to pray because it's the most important thing we do. And then I finally discovered that prayer was meant to be a delight with the most social, personable creature in the universe who just loves fellowship, loves being with me, and loves to share his affections to me. I mean, I could be in the most difficult place, agonizing before the Lord about something going on in my life, full of tears and weeping. And in the break in the middle of all that, he'll just say, I just love your heart so much, Chuck. I just love it so much that you care enough to talk to me about this. And it causes me to interrupt and go, God, I love you. I love you that impresses you because I know who I am and what I'm like. And there's just, in the midst of those things, this delightful, intimate place that makes me sad when it's over and look forward to our time again. You know, I know that when Livy and I first got married, particularly we did it for years, we would go to the Tally Ho every Friday night. That was date night. And there was a tradition Tradition's a good thing, because tradition can be one of the ways you continue the expressions of love. You know, people have their favorite song, their favorite restaurant, the table, that kind of stuff. That was our tradition. We would just go. It was our date night. Well, you don't want to use the word date, but multiply that a million times, and that's my mornings with God. And the minute I walk out the door or shut things off, come over here to talk to you all, I can't wait till the next time that the one who loves to be with me, because things are more real in that atmosphere than any other place. It's the most delightful thing I know. And if prayer is not that way to you, ask the Lord to make it that way with you, because that's all I did. I just got to the place where I said, God, show me what this is really supposed to be about. And then he did. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.